same manner. All right, we're on lesson 6, page 3. Lesson 6, page 3, the effects. We're looking at the effects of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Last time we left off at letter B. Let me just give you a context regarding the loss. It's also important to note there is no doubt that the views and feelings of men may be very strong while they are in an unregenerate state. In other words, there are people that love religion. There are people, churches are filled with people who have a religiosity. They know there's a God, but they want that God to fit their standards, not his standards. And those people call themselves in the evangelical church professing Christians. And then it says, actually, a man's knowledge of sin is what will condemn them on judgment day. In other words, we all know when we sin. And if you're not saved, I had somebody this morning as I was getting my coffee say to me, you know, pray for me. I have something going on and I'd like your prayers. So I said, I will. So as I'm driving away, I'm thinking about it and I started praying for this person. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the prayer, I was interrupted by the thought, well, why don't they pray for this situation? And I realized they can't pray because they don't know Christ as their Savior. And the same thing happens with people who are religious. They go to church, they know about God, they may even read their Bible and study it, they sing hymns, they do all of that, but they can't pray and ask God to forgive them because they don't know God, they just know of him. Big difference. So there's never forgiveness in their heart. All that happens to people that are outside of Christ when they commit sin is they forget about it for a while. But it's always there. No sin. Well, most sins hang on. They have a life of their own. They never leave. And even that is true. And why, by the way? Let me ask that question. Why is that true? What is the magic glue that holds sins onto a person's back? Be they saved or unsaved? What is it? Close. No.
They don't repent.
No. Conscience. Remember? Conscience.
Yes, that's right.
If you're unsaved, you have a conscience, and you might hold, I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I was a terrible sinner, no worse than probably anybody else sitting at this table, but the difference is that some people don't have an active conscience and other people do. I had an active conscience for about 6 months was the max. After that, it was gone and we started on with new stuff. It sort of like updated itself. and that's how the lost do it, because there's never any forgiveness. There's never any letting go. There's always looking back. There's always wondering if it's going to happen or if it's ever going to catch up to me. That's not true with the believer. However, if a believer decides to hang on to that sin, the Holy Spirit will convict their conscience for a while, and then he'll stop. And when you know what happens when the music stops, you better grab a chair. And in this case, you better grab the cross, and you better go there real quick. Because if you go to the cross, you confess it, you're fine. If you don't, you're going to find yourself on the floor. That worked out pretty well. Okay. Three. Sure. That's that down. Anybody else need a three? Give one to Harold. And give one to Anne Marie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And give one to Joe.
Give another
That's
one
it.
To Loretta.
Yeah, Loretta has one.
She gave it to Harold.
I have one. Okay.
Joe's ready.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's try new. Then B, they stand alone, knowing their guilt, awaiting sentencing from the sovereign God. We know that because of Revelation 20:13-15 says that they're that they are taken out of hell, they stand before the white throne of God, they are judged on judgment day, and then they are thrown into the lake of fire, and they are thrown at depths according to the works that they do. They are not thrown into the fire because of the works. They are condemned when they went to hell, the same way a judge would condemn somebody and throw them in a county lockup until judgment came, and then 2 weeks later, they would judge them, and that person would be transferred to a prison. That's the same concept as hell and the lake of fire. You're held there because you're condemned. You are condemned because you died without the blood of Christ, period. When you reject Christ, then you're condemned because you come into the world condemned. And unless God calls you and you accept that offering of his son, then you're condemned. And if you die in your sins, then that's what happens. And then it says the principal bond of union between Christ and his people is the Holy Spirit. Number one. But in addition to this mutual union, something else is needed to complete it. And that is the divine gift of faith. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Who knows that one? June.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay.
8 and 9.
Yeah, 8 and 9. Okay, so what that means is the mutual union is what's needed is faith. What does the Bible say happens without faith? It's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
Right? Without faith. What else? What does Romans 14:23b say, Paxton? <His father. laughs> What's it say? This is a very short verse everybody should memorize. There's like six words. Romans 14:23 is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. What do they call it? End stop, right there.
He said something.
What does that mean to you? What does that verse mean to you? Vinny?
Well, I think anything that we do in our walk with Christ, if it's not done in faith, it's done in itself.
All right. How about in the unsaved world?
They don't have faith anyways.
What does the Bible say? Whatever 14:23b. So whatever happens in the outside world is sin. In other words, everything they do. Every time they put a stick of food in their mouth, every time that they receive a blessing. Wasn't there a passage about Christ healing some lepers and only one came back?
Out of 10, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the point I'm trying to make is that because the lost have no faith, they do not have biblical faith. That is the faith of Ephesians 2:8, the gift of faith. They don't have that. Everything they do is sin. And what is Roman? Yes.
No, go ahead. You continue something else.
No, you finish. Because
I was just going to say that verse really has a lot to do with Christian liberty and how some people are they're talking about, you know, food that's different.
Yep.
People can't eat
true
certain things. So he's really trying to help them understand that some people may have those convictions. Mm. Other Christians might not. And they both have liberty to live that way if they're not sinning in their conscience.
For example, if you like to watch action movies and they get a little nasty and you don't feel convicted by it, to you it's not sin. But if you sit there and you go, oh, I can't watch that anymore, then it's sin. Don't do it. That's the liberty you have. But looking at those outside of Christ, okay? Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. I think it's in Romans chapter 9. We'll find out. 8:9. I'm looking for that passage. Storing up wrath. Where is it?
Right here, 22.
What does it say?
What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath?
No, that's not it. I'm talking about there's a passage that talks about storing wrath up.
Oh, for the day.
Oh, is it in 1 Peter?
Beginning of Romans.
Oh, yeah, okay. Which one? Paxton?
Romans 2:3.
2:3? 2:15?
Romans
2:5. Go ahead and read it, Wink.
But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing on wrath to yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed.
Okay. Their lack of repentance. It's talking about their lack of repentance. We have to understand something, that when you're not saved, you know, you don't get a pass by saying, well, I didn't accept Christ as my Savior, so I'm going to go to hell. If their works are judged, what works are they judging? What works is God judging on the lost? What works do you think he's judging?
Stubble.
Huh?
Hay and stubble.
No. That's not a hard question, right? What works?
Belief.
No.
Whether they believe.
Murder, lying, cheating, stealing. Huh?
The Ten Commandments.
I didn't hear you.
Ten Commandments.
Okay, that sums it up pretty well. The moral law, Ten Commandments, breaking the Ten Commandments, okay? They're storing up wrath every day because they break them. Giving thanks, and not just the Ten Commandments. What about, there's things outside of the Ten Commandments, right? Does it not say to give thanks to God for in all things? Right? And is that not a command? Right? So when you do that, even though you're outside of Christ, that, in other words, God's law does not exempt somebody because they don't take the blood of Christ. They're just as guilty as we would be if we did it. Yeah.
Got a good verse for that. Matthew
12, 33, starting in 33, going to 37. Okay. Joe Pesch, read that. Chapter 12. Is he okay?
He's playing around.
Oh.
Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You root of vipers, how can you be an evil speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of it fills the heart. The good man runs the good treasure.
Matthew 12.
The good and the evil man out of the evil treasure.
Oh, I see.
And I say to you, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words we shall be justified, and by your word we shall be condemned.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yep.
So the point I'm trying to make is, don't think that the moral law and the commands that are in the epistles that we are to follow makes a person who have rejected Christ exempt from punishment. They're liable for that the same way we're liable for, because it's an offense against God. A lot of people think, well, I didn't accept Christ as my Savior, so that's my penalty, and I guess I'll have to pay for that. But it's not that. That's your condemnation, that you came into this world already with the devil as your father instead of God. And unless you're converted and changed, okay, then you die in your sins. If you're converted and changed, then all the penalties of all the commands, both the moral law plus all the admonitions that are in the epistles, the penalties are taken away. Only thing that's there is chastisement. But if you're outside of Christ, all those things are still in play for you. So every time you think of somebody that's lost, remember this, that if they, every time you're in a restaurant and you see people put food in their mouth, they're not giving God thanks for that, okay? Whenever you see people using the Lord's name in vain, what does he say?
The Lord will not hold them guiltless.
Yes. And he's talking about anybody. And there's many admonition in Scripture that the lost are responsible for their sins, that the offenses they commit against God every single day, and they are being stored up. That's what it means. And worst of all, those penalties keep increasing. You know what it's like? If you have been charged by something and you've been given a penalty for it, and you don't pay the penalty, try not paying your taxes. See what the penalty adds up to be. Try not paying a parking ticket. Or don't pay your water bill. check out the penalty. So what ends up happening is, well, not for people in Goshen, they got wells, but but for the rest of us, right? There's penalties that are tacked on. So the main penalty is the lake of fire, But all the other things that he's judging in Revelation 20, 13 through 15 are all the other things those people did to offend God. Because each and every one of them, and make no mistake about it, I'm being very specific, each and every one of them have to be paid for. Every one of them. And you will never die, and you can't go bankrupt in a lake of fire. You can't prepay. You're there forever, because that is the payment that's demanded for the sin of rejecting Christ, and the level of your punishment is adjusted according to what you didn't do, or how you offended God, rather. It's adjusted by that. Yes. Oh, by the way, excuse me. This is very difficult stuff for unsaved people to hear, and even for saved people to hear. Why? Because we all have people that are lost. We've all lost somebody, and they may be there, and it's a very difficult thing. But it's the absolute truth, and we can't shy away from it. We have to see it, understand it, and let it encourage us to go out and to have more of a brighter light. And ask God, Lord, how about that soul? How about this soul? I ended up praying for that person, not so much that they would have their wish done, but I prayed for salvation. So I said, Lord, perhaps instead of giving them what they want, perhaps you would give them salvation if it pleases you, so that they could pray for the rest of their life to you for what they want. We need to know all aspects of the truth, the absolute truth, because that's the way you learn and grow. Yes. Everybody. Everybody.
Everybody. So if you're saved or not, does
right.
that account for everything even before you were saved?
No. Salvation doesn't do that. When he says, out of a good man, good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man, he's talking about two of them there. And then in 36, he says, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account therefore on the day of judgment. For by the words, okay, and then because we are born again, okay, first and foremost, the penalty is off the table for us. That's not true for the lost.
Hey, how are you?
It's not true for the lost, but it is true for us. And your question was what? Right. Right. The difference is this. If you'll stand before God in Judgment Day in Revelation 20, 11 and 12, your works will be judged. That is what you did and what you didn't do. And then your works will be separated, good from the bad, and you'll receive reward according to them. And
or
you'll
loss.
Be
gain or loss of reward for the Christian.
Yeah, gain or loss. No penalty, okay? But for the lost, it's only a penalty.
Okay.
Whatever their works is, it's just a penalty. There's no separating them. You did this. And the reason is because there's no forgiveness. That's the key to remember. Lost have no forgiveness. You have to understand that God will only forgive you with that blood.
The saved have complete forgiveness.
Better yet. Complete forgiveness in everything. Yes.
I forget the verse, but it says that God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he entered into his rest. And that when we're saved, we also enter into that same rest. So when we're walking with God, we're in that rest. But when we sin, we step out of that rest for a little while. We're still saved, but we're in that judgment section. We're being judged. We're being chastised. We're not being condemned ever. We're being held accountable along our walk with God. Differently than the sinner who had judgment day has to, at that point, because they never met God until then, have to account for all of it at the same time. So if we are in chastisement, it's because we've been under a little bit of judgment, not with condemnation, but with that idea in our walk that we fell away a little bit to come back to Him, you know? So that's happening routinely through our walk. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do. See, what makes that true is the fact that God says that I have given you, Jesus said, I've given you my peace. He's given us his joy, okay? And why did he do that? Because we're in that rest, and we're supposed to be there. And have you ever noticed when you're right on target with God, how you really are at rest? You ever notice that? You ever notice you got a little song going in your head, maybe a little hymn going on or a little tapping of the feet, and you've got that little joy. You're just being filled up with that joy, and it feels so good. Even if life is bad, you say, I don't care. I care, but I don't care, right? And you have that little bit. That's the peace that he's talking about. And we should be in that continual peace. And the object should be that where our obedience and submission of such is that we enjoy that peace all the time. One of the benefits of being a Christian, this is a big book. This book is loaded with stuff to do. None of it bad, all of it good, but a lot of it is tough. A lot of it is tough to do. But in doing it, there's a reward that the world has no idea what it is. And it's what he said. It's that perfect peace which passes all understanding. That's why he tells us in Philippians to be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything, because it's a sin. The reason is because you have God who has promised you that all things are going to work out for your good. Trust in that. Because if you don't, then you're really suffering unbelief. You don't believe Romans 8:28. Yes?
Another good section is Colossians 3. We
should yes. Colossians 3 what?
Starting at verse 5. And we'll stop at 10. 5-10.
Colossians 3, 5-10. You're up, Wink.
He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, two Christians here, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, saying that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of, after the image of its creator. That's
all right.
The process right there.
Exactly.
We're somewhere in the middle of that.
You yep.
know, all of us at different levels. But the penalty is gone. That's
the penalty is off the table. It's not mentioned. Okay, let's look at. Sorry.
I'm back to Matthew again.
Sure.
He speaks of. There words. Does that cover works?
Matthew what? 12 what?
Just read, 12,
but which one? What?
Does that cover works?
You got to remember. You always have to remember the scene of what you're looking at. Christ was speaking
to Jews.
Yeah.
He was speaking to the Jewish nation. Yeah, only a couple of Gentiles came into the mix there. So he was confronting people with the law of God. Everybody. These were sermons to crowds. And he was, he shouted this out. There were Pharisees in that whole crowd and everything. So this isn't specifically for the church. This is a broad brush stroke of this right here, the law right here. So when he's telling you that, he always brought condemnation in first, because people cannot understand the good news until they believe the bad news. Good news means nothing.
Okay. Anybody. Now, I want to explain what he's saying. It says, whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. In other words, people were calling him this, people were calling him that, and he said, that'll be forgiven, right? Then whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world and neither in the world to come. How do you speak against the Holy Ghost? That's the question.
What verse are we on? Where?
12:32. I'm reading the King James. I don't know what you have.
Yeah, you're up on
that. What?
Doesn't matter. It's
yeah. So how do you speak against the Holy Ghost? And he's saying it's not if you speak against him, it won't be forgiven. And it says it somewhere else. I'm trying to think of where that is.
Well, the answer to that question that you just gave is in the same chapter. Here's an example of speaking against the Holy Ghost in verse 24. That's what he was addressing. Look at this is what the demon, this is what the Pharisees were saying. These are the clergy now of the day. Keep in mind in verse 24, they're saying, But when the Pharisees heard this, and all everything that came up, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, it is only by Beelzebub. In other words, they were saying Christ is healing by the power of Satan.
Yeah.
And they said, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. So they're saying, this guy's false. He's casting out demons by the power of Satan. That's, that's blasphemy. That's what Christ is saying.
That's what he, and that, and he says, and he was also saying that in verse 32, speaking against the Holy Ghost is exactly what verse 24 was doing. In other words, they were making fun of Christ, but at the same time, they were speaking that, they were saying that it was the devil that was doing it, which was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was doing it, right? So, so, and we see that again somewhere else where, and I just can't remember where it is.
Verse 22 tells you. That's what they were.
Then one was brought unto him with one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doesn't cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom is divided against itself, is brought to desolation in every city. So what he's doing, he said, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. Right? So what he's saying is, when you say that Christ is a liar or something like that, that can be forgiven to you. But when you say something against the Holy Spirit, it simply means that your heart is so hardened that, and it says in this life and in the next life, that it's so hardened that nothing is going to, it's freeze dried. Remember,
see,
I told you?
It was a miracle that you couldn't deny it. I mean, a deaf mute.
There was no other way to, there was no other way to explain it.
All of a sudden, this guy can hear and speak. And,
yeah.
And so they had that. They came up with that.
And you don't even have to go that far. You can look at every born again person in this room and you see exactly the same thing. We were all deaf mutes before Christ. We didn't have the mind of God, right? And then when the Holy Spirit is the one that regenerated us, right? And now he indwells us. And as a result of that, we see, we hear, right? We couldn't do that before. So in a sense, what he did to that deaf and dumb guy physically, he does to us spiritually. It's exactly the same thing.
Eyes and seeing, ears and
seeing.
Yeah.
Everybody can see
ears.
I have seen.
What second?
So in the Old Testament, David remarked on the Holy Spirit then as a feature of God. And so in that message there, they're saying that Jesus is in line with God and the Spirit the same way.
Yeah.
So they're making sure that you know that if you reject God, you're rejecting the Spirit, and likewise.
Exactly.
It's no longer is it a separate thing for the Pharisees. They have to include all of it or none of it.
Yeah. And you see that. And how do we see that? How do we see that today? We see it in the outside world. How do we see it? How do we see people, in a sense, doesn't the Bible say that natural man is hostile to God, right? It says that, right? And how do we see that? I see it in my own family when I talk to them about the Lord. They sit there and they're just so polite. Yeah, okay, yep. But they are just like that man that went into the temple. They don't understand. They don't have the ability, let me phrase this correctly. People that are lost do not have the ability to understand that this life is not the end of all things. They don't have the ability to understand that this life is the beginning of all things. And you're either going to get it right or you're going to get it wrong. And if you get it wrong, that's a wrong that's going to haunt you for all eternity. Mm-hmm. It's simply that easy. Mm-hmm. That's all that it is. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of life. This is not the end of life. And people who live on this planet like Harold, 102 years, or people that live here a very short time, even children, okay? It's the beginning of life. It's not the end of life. And I dare say that those that are lost, they don't believe that. They can't believe that because their minds are not open to that. They'd rather live their life and they don't want to give up their sin. I have told you before. I have a family member right now that's, he's got one foot on a banana peel and the other one in the coffin, okay? Does not want to know anything. None of them do. And there's not a thing in the world I can do because they are born dead. We're all born dead to God. And so those things just will not will not ring true to them, and they'll just be polite. They love you. They'll listen to you, as long as you don't overdo it.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from personal experience, but anyway, that's how you know that. But the deaf dumb guy, that's what we were. We were all deaf dumb people until God opened us up, and He used the Holy Spirit to do it. There was a hand up. Who had their hand up? Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to the next chapter, Matthew 13. Matthew 13 was had a few parables in it. So chapter 13, he spoke parables. And he started actually at the beginning, the parable of the sower. And then his disciples, it says in verse 10, came and said to him, when this is to do with the hearing and seeing, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has more, or to the one who has more, and this has to do with knowledge and truth, will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has, even the knowledge he has, that will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see. They can have natural eyesight, they can see birds and everything else. And hearing they do not understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. It says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart is grown dull. He's talking about Israel. And with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. And I turn and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. They long to see the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not see, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
that's the spiritual hearing, the physical hearing contrast.
Yes. And I would also remind you that in the book of Matthew, written to the Jews, from chapter 1 to chapter 12, Jesus told his disciples that the message was going to the Jews. But at chapter 13 that we just read, that's where it stopped. He started speaking to the Gentiles as well, because the Jews, he knew the Jews were going to reject him.
Well, there were always Gentiles in the mix anyways. I mean, there
were. Yeah, oh no, there was always some in there, sure. All right, any questions, any thoughts? Where are we stopping? You know, I know that, but in our handout sheet.
Number 2, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 2. No, we stopped at number 1. We'll cover number 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have not seen nor have not heard, neither is entering the garden in the things which God hath prepared.
But that's for saved
them.
People. We're talking about the two, both saved and unsaved. And that only refers to one group. So we're talking about two groups. You better go.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the thought. All right. Pray for Don and Ann Ross. Yes. I don't know what's going on, but pray for them, because he has a lung problem, and they are professing Christians. Also, pray for Mel. I called him, and he finally called me back, and he's having a problem. They don't know what the problem is. He's having trouble walking. I don't know what it was, but I know that he's having trouble walking, so we should pray that God would give him strength and wisdom and keep him from falling. They're coming back next week to see a doctor, get an MRI. You know, at 82 years old, you know, and he works, he's got a full-time job there, and it's tough.